from camp meeting and back as a family. Oh God, I'd rather be in church, folks, than anywhere else. Your life and your entire existence around. 2 Kings chapter 13. Let's begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice, and he stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and he said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, then hast thou smitten Syria until thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful, God, today for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for talking to us, God. Confirm your word. Lord Jesus, with signs following today, allow the Holy Ghost to touch every heart, every life. Those who are new, those that have come today, desiring an experience with God in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message that I have titled, Stopping Just Short of Your Goal. Stopping Just Short of Your Goal. The Bible tells us that Joash became king at the age of 7, and he reigned for 40 years, a 7-year-old king. In the midst of Joash's reign, pardon me, as we read here this afternoon, how that the Israelite people was preparing to cross a very critical juncture in the history. We find the prophet Elisha on his deathbed about to pass from the scene, and King Joash at Elisha's bedside.
weeping. As the king stood by the bedside, he inquired of Elisha as to what would happen to the people of Israel once he was gone. Elisha, not wanting to leave the king nor the people of Israel without any feeling of comfort or hope, he instructed Joash to take the bow and arrows that were before him. At the prophet's request, it was Joash who took the arrows, and as Joash held the bow and the arrows in his hands, Elisha had put his hands upon Joash's hands. And then Elisha said, "Joash, open the window and shoot the arrows." Then after Joash shot the arrows, Elisha further instructed the king to take the arrows and to smite them upon the ground. Believing Joash was following the prophet's instructions, he took the arrows and he smote the ground 3 times. And he stayed. In reflection to what it was that Joash did, how many times in your life, maybe in concerns to your own walk with God, could it be said that at the command or at the request of God, understanding what it is that God is or maybe was asking you to do, how that in such a time or at a request from God, you were the one who only went so far. Maybe even in that time of God's prompting you, you stopped or you half-heartedly gave heed to what God's request was for you, and you just did it with a lick and a promise effort. Big deal. Come on, step out from where you are. Come on to the front and I, your God, will meet you in your miracle. Okay, so now you came to church. All right, it's you who has a need. You have a need in your life. Now, in order for you to receive what it is that you need, call aloud to me. Lift up your hands. Begin to worship me. Do this right now. I mean, right now. Do it now. And there you are, you're frozen in your pew. I've seen over the years, 37 years worth of white knuckled hanging on to the seat in front of them, frozen in terror, sometimes souls. They're feeling something's pushing them out to the aisle and looks over at their spouse or maybe who's sitting next to them. Don't push me. I didn't push you. Well, who's pushing me? I don't know what's going on. And you look behind you, there's nobody behind you, but what do you mean stand up? Hey, if I stand up, everybody's going to notice me. And so there we are, and God's saying, come on, do it now. And I'm going, not now, later. Not today, another service, next time. But God, you see, that's out of my comfort zone. I've never done something like that before. In fact, I'm scared. What if I look foolish? What if I do this and you don't do, you don't answer, you don't meet my need in my life when I do? What if I step out, you know, and I come up to the front and they're all sitting there, they're wanting the preaching to go on, and I come up front just like you told me to, and I lift up my hands and I start praying, and then I turn around and they're all there sitting there staring at me. What if you don't do what you told me? What if he does?
That's right. Amen, amen, amen.
What if you just did? You went out of that comfort zone and God met you. Elisha, here's Joash in a very critical time of his life, of his kingship. What about the enemy? How shall I or how shall we as God's people prevail and go on from here? You're about to die. You're the man of wisdom and you've led us and you've been our spiritual leader and now you're going to die. What are we going to do? And at the command of the words of Elisha, Joash didn't, for whatever reason, take to heart or seriously enough what it is that Elisha was asking him to do. And so half-heartedly, Joash took the arrows. Take the arrows! Got them. And smite the ground. I did. He hit it 3 times. And he stopped. Today, there might be some of you who right now in the present are maybe you have been holding back from your doing what it is that God is or has been asking you to do. Right here. And all that God is wanting you to do is what it is that He has been asking you. And the only thing that stands between you and your request, your need being met, or even your miracle, is for you to thrust yourself into the realm of that now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things I cannot see. You got to put yourself into that realm in order for you to attain, to receive, to possess what it is that you in God have been longing to attain, to receive, or to possess. I just want it. All right. Well, step out. No. All right. I really need it. You have no idea what I'm going through. Okay. Lift up your hands and start thanking me for it. No. I'm really sick in my body, and I come to church and I'm feeling just as gross as I can. And God says, well, go get prayed for. What? I don't even know the guy. He doesn't even know me. You want me to heal you? Go ask for prayer. And you sit there. And you don't. See, what I'm saying to you this afternoon is Joash, at the words of Elisha, should have, as a prophet said, smote the ground several times. Bang, bang, bang. He should have been nuts. Bang, 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 bang. And just beat it into a froth. In reflection, when it's you who has a need, when it's you who desires to go deeper or higher in God, when it's you who wants God to respond to you in the miraculous, instead of you stopping just short of your goal, instead of you just accepting less than what God desires to give you, if only in that moment of that now faith it was you who'd be the one to move in the direction that God's calling you to move in. Just do it. People say, well, I don't want to look foolish. Can I tell you? In the world, B.C., before Christ, at a party or a function, when I was under the influence of either one of the two options that we have in our life, fool, foolish, crazy, I did it all. I made the biggest fool of myself. I was dating this young lady, and I don't know why she married me, but she did. And so she took, I'd never been to a frat party, that's a university, I guess, gathering, in my whole life. I was at the frat party, and so I was at this party, and I was drinking more and drinking more and drinking more and getting more friendly. And I saw a whole bunch of guys just before we left. She goes, I want to take you home. Come on, you got to go. You're acting really bad. And I was doing foolish things. And so I looked over in the kitchen, and there's all these young men. They're all sitting around with their teas and maybe their wine and smoking their cigars and doing their thing. And I thought, ha-ha, I'm going to go say goodbye to them. And so I was in the far end of the front room. It's almost to that side. And I looked over, and there they all sat, unbeknown to them, but who was about to arrive. And so before she could stop me, my wife, I took off running. And I ran through that front room with everything I got. And as I jumped into that kitchen area, they all looked up. And I said, hey, I've come to say goodbye. And I jumped up. I landed on the table. I smashed everyone in their drink. I gave one guy a kiss on his cheek. And I said, I just come to say goodbye. Oh, I don't want to act foolish in church. I don't want to. Me, I'm shy. I don't talk out loud. Ask for prayer? Not now. Not even later. Maybe never. But we look back to the lives that we lived, the lives that we lived, and the way we were, let's say, in the world. We use that term. Some of us were class clowns. Some of us did such foolish things, but oh, come to church. Be proper now. Is there any hair out of place, you think? And God says, all I want you to do, if you want me to respond in the miraculous, just step out. Take that moment. Right now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Evidence, I can't see nothing. Just, you know what? What if it doesn't happen? What if it does? What if God doesn't touch me? What if He does? I tell people so many times, you have got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Wow. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. Come here. What do you want? That's one of my favorite. I have to say this. I hope this is not even part of my message, but I have to say this. What do you want,
Lord?
Let's think about it for a minute. I want, you know, 2 quarts of milk, a loaf of bread, maybe chocolate bar for the kids. I'm blind! What do you mean, what do I want? We come to God sometimes. Well, he knows what I want, even before I ask him. But maybe God wants you to ask him. And when Bartimaeus said, I just want my eyes. He didn't walk away from that moment blind. You see, if we in that moment of faith don't move, if you in your life, instead of stepping out into the realm of the unknown, if it's you who becomes the one who hinders God from being able to take you further, to take you deeper in his will and his purpose for your life, I'm not moving. I won't do that. I've watched people, then they bring their friends to church, you know, poor little victims. Come on, let's go up front. No. Leave me alone. Stop. You're making me look bad. And they go red. Oh, it must be hot in here. But all they want to do is take you to where they are, to where they know you too could be. You see, in the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 32, this is what many people, they fail to catch. They don't get what the Word of God tells them. The Bible said it's your Father's, in Luke 12, 32, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What do you want? Just come to me. There's a time in the Old Testament when Esther, she was had to be the front woman for her people. There was a bunch of evil going on. There's a guy wanting to kill people. And so she was the one chosen to go before the king. And in that day, you know what? If anybody walked into the king's throne room where the guards stood on each side with swords, if they walked in there and they were not invited, this is a true story. Look in history. They'd lose their head over the deal. And so Esther made herself look the best as she could, and she walked in there, and she stood at the entrance to that throne room, and she looked up, and there was the king just sitting there. And if he didn't extend her scepter, she knew that was over. Right there, she'd be dead. And he put forth his scepter, and she came up, and she put her hand on that scepter. And he said, "What do you want? I'll give you anything to the half of my kingdom." We come to the house of God. God doesn't know me. God doesn't care. God doesn't know what kind of life I'm living right now. He doesn't know if I'm hurting inside. He doesn't know I sit in the darkness of my room and I cry my eyes out until I finally fall asleep. He doesn't know. And you walk in there and he goes, "It's your Father's good pleasure. I want to give it to you. I want you to receive my forgiveness. I want you to feel my love. I want to bestow my mercy on you. I want to give it to you." And there you sit. Don't move. See, as you seek me, God says, as you bring me your petitions before me, as you pray in faith, believing, even when you feel as though nothing is happening in your life in regards to your prayers, don't stop short of your goal. You see, young Denisha, if you stop, if you turn off the tap, God's a gentleman. He'll just back off and go find somebody else. But you know what? He goes, even if you don't feel like you're going to cross over, keep it pouring on. Get out of that little blind spot, that comfort zone. I want it. Pardon me. Don't stop short. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop bringing before my throne of grace what it is you and your heart need, whatever you desire, or maybe what you wish to possess in your life. For when you least expect it, God tells us, "As your God, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour upon you my Spirit, and I'll be the one to meet your needs. I'll be the one to answer your prayer. I'll be the one to meet you in your miracle." But hear me, don't be that one. You must not be the one who stops short of your goal. I did seek for the Holy Ghost 5 years ago. He never answered that prayer. What about today? You know, well, preacher, come on. be easy on us today. You know, it's only, you know, Wednesday Bible study. I mean, it's just a prayer meeting. It's only the altar call, you know. And with that similar mindset, like in under Joash, I believe in times like that, we give God a half-hearted style of prayer. And in such times, we are the one who stop short of your goal. I hear the chains falling. God wants to break the chains. And so I'm going to put my hands up and I can feel. You ever feel that? I felt that before.
The chains.
I can't even put my hands up. The Bible says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Well, I'm full of doubt right now, you know. And so, but what happens is you just get out of that little mode. And you know what? They're going to fall.
And you lift up your hands. And as you lift up your hands,
just like Paul and Silas in the prison house, when they sang praises to God and the prisoners heard them, everyone's bands were loose. When you begin to pray and you ask God, God, I want to hear him fall. He says, I want to hear him fall too, but don't you stop. You must not stop short of your goal. I've heard people say, you know, listen, preacher. Listen, God, I'm only willing to go thus far and that's it. But as a result of their unwillingness, maybe of you being the one who holds back because of fear, maybe doubt, or that spirit of unbelief holding back and being the one to step out of the realm of faith in order for you to experience what God has for you. No. It's far enough. I stop. No. No, come on. Come on. No. You ever done that? As I was a young boy, went swimming. Come on in the water. You ever done that? Or maybe I'm the only one. And I put my foot in the water, you know, and I move it around. And it's kind of warm. Well, come on further. You can do this. And so you go deeper and deeper and deep, and finally you thrust out into the deep, and there you are, and you're swimming. But you never would have experienced what it felt like to swim if you stayed on the shore. Maybe today it's God who's looking for you to take that step of faith in order for you to enter into that realm wherein the blessings of God flow. Maybe it's God is saying, come on. Here we have, we don't often have, what we have there in church, the Bible talks about through the seven gifts, the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of the tongue. And that's not for an individual person. That's for the body, that God speaks to the church. And we don't often have that before. It's usually after. And what a move of God in that song service. And so, is it time now to sit back and relax, you know, kick up or feel our heels and just call it a day? No, God's going, you see what I can do? Don't stop short of that goal. You can still have the Holy Ghost today. You can receive what I have for you. You can be healed. Your miracle can arrive today. One more time, even though Joash obeyed Elisha's request, his heart was not in it, possibly because Joash didn't expect the prophet to ask him to do that. Come to the front.
Why?
Hey, lift up your hands. Just start talking to God. No. He didn't expect the prophet. Well, maybe Joash expected him to do something of a greater significance than just smiting the ground with a few arrows. What are a few lousy arrows going to do after all when you're gone? He said, if you would have smote that ground and just beat it into a froth, you know what would have happened? You would have beat your enemy to the uttermost. You would have conquered them. And now, because you just went bang, 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 and you quit, now three times, and that's it.
Oh.
So, okay, when I pray, you want me to cry out loud? You mean you want me to lift up my hands? Are you really saying it? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you to do. You are kidding, aren't you? You want me to? Well, maybe God is the one in your life right now who wants me to sacrifice, to do whatever it is God's asking me to do. But the truth is, I think what he, as well as maybe you're asking me to do, is foolish. I just don't think that all that's necessary. And with that attitude, that mindset, I'm afraid to say that That's exactly what I'm trying to bring across to you this afternoon in this message. The things that you might not feel are important nor significant in your life and concerns to God, to God's desire to move upon you, to take you to that next level in your walk with God, etc., can be that in the end that will end up being that which causes you to stop in your walking with God and concerns you wanting more from God. What you do by stopping is you stop short of your goal. Anybody know what the P word is? It's not pastor. A lot of us in our lives, when I first came to God, I was so full of the P word, I didn't know how to get the P word out of my heart. Pride. I'm not doing that. They're not. I was telling Carrie during prayer time there, I said, you know, when I first came to church, I prayed. I said, God, you get me out of here. I'll never come back. These guys are nuts. They're shouting hallelujah. This one little girl falls between the seats on the floor, and she's talking in tongues, and they're shouting amen to the preacher. These guys are nuts.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I lost my mind. I got the mind of Christ, you know. But you go to a ball game, and some little guy hits this leather thing across, you know, and he gets the goal. Have you ever been to a football game? Anybody been to a football game? And it's the last inning, and I think that they're called innings, aren't they, Brother Mike? Where are you at? Yeah, they're innings, I think. No? Oh, the end of the quarter. It's the last quarter. And maybe innings baseball. I'm a really sports fanatic, you can probably tell. Anyhow, so they're in the last quarter, and they're tied. I'm going somewhere. Please hang on with me. And so the guy, he finally gets to get a field goal, and he kicks it. And it goes right between the posts. Does that, right? Okay, good. Anyhow, he didn't have to run from first base. You know, it goes right between the posts, and he breaks the tie. And there they sit, you know. Hey, Jake.
Yeah, John.
Man, what a game.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, they got the is it the Grey Cup? Okay. All right. They got the cup.
Yeah. Do you want to go get a slush?
Really? Really? Come on. We all, you never get God! Oh, they made it! And they run around! Oh, look what they did! And we think it's normal. But don't you come to church and do that. Don't you run the aisles in church. Don't you lift your hands. Don't you talk out loud and call God. Don't you talk in tongues. We need to be quiet. It's a graveyard, isn't it? No. We're not the dead in Christ. We've risen. So I just want to bring it to you. It's like what's wrong with worshiping God? What's wrong with you know what happens when you lift up your hands? Anybody, what would you do if a guy walks up to you with a shotgun or a pistol and he aims it at you right to the center of your chest? Slap his face, tell you what.
You know what this does? What does it mean?
I surrender. And so God says, lift up your hands. Submit your soul to me. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now.
Lift them up.
And you lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. And God meets you in your miracle. The point I want to bring out today is when you lose the feeling of the importance of what God is asking or you being asked to do by God, maybe by those in authority, maybe it's the man of God, maybe it's the word of God you see in the Bible, or those who want to help you to grow in God, to get to attain what God has for you. What happens if you lose that feeling? You're the one that's going to develop that I don't care attitude. I don't think that's important, you know. I'm not really concerned, and just like Joash, when you do, you might think that you're growing in God and you might be moving forward, but I want you to know today, you're not. You're frozen in time. God says, come on, come on, come on. Who in their right mind that has a child or a young child and they go to school and you go, hey, I don't know if they do it anymore. I'm too old now. Do they do sports day at school? They run the relays and the beanbag and all that kind of race. And there you are going, oh, Johnny, just take your time. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry. The game's almost over. We'll go home. I'll buy you an ice cream cone. You're a loser. I know. That's not what you do. It's not. Come on, Johnny. You get on. Oh, man. Oh, no, come on. And you know what he does? He responds to you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to bring it home. You ready for the fifth rib? And when we call out to God and we cry out to him for help and I have a need. Oh, God, I really need you right now. I need you to hear me right now.
Amen.
He responds. Pow! And he meets you right there. Last little story real quick. I prayed and I said, God, I watched my wife 37 years ago this November. She got out of the baptismal tank. She comes walking up out of the baptismal tank. She looked at me right in the face and she's talking in tongues. I was staring at her like, whoa. This really is what it really is. And I remember getting into that tank and I was praying, God, if this is really you, you got to show me. You got to prove it to me. Either that or the Moonies got me. You know, maybe God just duped here. They brainwashed me or something. I don't know. I got to know. And I'll never forget. He said, of course you can't. You're telling us a story 37 years later. I went down in that water. I felt like I emptied from my head to my toe. This is split second, honey. You ever watch somebody get baptized? It's in and out. And then I felt an electrical shock from my feet to my head. My hands came up like this. The poor pastor at that time, Brother Reynolds, he had to get out of the way because I became airborne at 100 miles an hour. Arms raised, talking in tongues. I ended up on my knees, and I'm running on my knees in this little underground kind of pool thing they had in their church, a baptismal tank. You know what some of you are saying right now? Watch this. That was good for him. Don't you dare do that to me. No, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not emotional. I don't respond like that. Okay, what's the difference? What the difference is if you have that mindset, you stop. And it might be just short of your goal. Here we go. Life in itself can be intense. Life demands from us often those things that challenge our circumstance. And if you in your life, if you seek success, if you want to go to be prepared to be met with failure, or you want to overcome it, it's going to depend upon how you respond to what happens to you. Parallel that scriptural about Joash and Elisha. Smite the ground. Or beat it into next week. The difference, that parallel, is how you would have responded. Ready? Here we go. I have a question for you all today. How bad is it in concerns to what it is that you desire, you wish to obtain from God? Maybe in this world that we're living in, what do I want to happen in my life present? And what do I want to happen in my spiritual world? Are you going to take on life with the attitude of, you know, whatever, one day it'll get there? Or will you be the one who instead who takes that opportunity, who in concerns to God and the things of God, and you give it everything you've got in order to attain it? I'm coming to church. I'm getting this Holy Ghost. I'm walking through. God will meet me in my miracle. You remember that story about that crazy woman? I'm not advocating we all go out and look for husbands. Let me tell you, the Bible says, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not to be bound. I don't know if it's good or bad sometimes. But that lady, she came to church and she told her pastor, I really remember this. I told pastor, I want to get married. And he says, well, buy a set of clothes and sit it next to you, whatever you want that guy to look like, and God will put him into it. Sure enough, she brought it and everybody laughed. Oh, look at you. Oh, goodness. Oh, you brought those clothes and the shoes. Ah, you're going to be a spinster at 80. I sure are. Until that guy walked into the church and he repented of his sins. He was baptized in Jesus' name and they sparked a relationship. And one day, guess what he did? The story I remember is he put that suit on and he wore it as they walked down the aisle together. Oh, you know, you're never going to get the Holy Ghost. God's never going to answer your prayer. Oh, get out of my way. Don't even start it. Don't start it. I'm going to get what God has for me. I'm going to church today, and I'm going to get it. Right, Denisha? I'm going to Anaheim Lake with the Holy Ghost. All right. We're almost there. All right, to those of you who've already been baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost, what is God offering you today in this message? What's for you? You know, you already got salvation. It's the opportunity to attain, I believe, new heights and greater dimensions in God. Only attainable to those who seek Him in an intense desire in order to attain it. I want more. Why don't we raise up Elishas in the church? Elijah and Elisha. Elijah says, Elisha, what do you want when I'm gone? A double portion. Well, if I sit around and drink coffee and water and have biscuits, are you going to... He said, wherever I go, if you see me ascend up, this is in your Bible. You see me, Elijah says, you see me go up, Elisha, if you're there, my mantle will fall upon you. Guess what? I can't miss a church service. I can't miss an opportunity of a move of God. I want a double portion, and I'm going to get it. All right, to those of you who never received the fullness of God's salvation plan yet, to you today, God, I believe, offers you the chance, if you want it bad enough, to change your present lives, to turn around your destiny, meaning your ability of being the one to start a brand new chapter in your life. Think about this, a brand new you, brand new mind, brand new heart, brand new soul, brand new purpose, brand new goals. Come. But God wants to know, why'd you come here today? Well, it's church, you know. If we didn't show up, he stands outside of our house with placards and signs, and he tells us, you skip church. No. I believe God says, well, you came here because you have a need. Maybe you came here because you've got a hunger in your heart for God, and you're searching for the presence and the meaning of what God has in your life. And I'm not going to leave until I touch you and that throne of grace. I'm not going to just stop short of my goal. You see, some need the Holy Ghost today. Some struggle in their life with life issues. Some really haven't felt the power and the presence of God. And it's something completely new and maybe even strange to them. But I've had people say oftentimes, I really like what I feel. I call it the doodads. You know, you sit there and suddenly little shivers going up and down. Don't tickle me. I didn't touch you. Well, who was that? Last story, really quick. And I'd love for this to happen again, but I don't know. Maybe I had to be in a different dimension. I don't know. Went to church to pray one time, and there's just three of us guys, and we decided, you know, that would be cool. Hey, Brother Ricky, Brother Mike, why don't we head over to church and pray? What? I can't do that. I'll take time out of my busy day. Anyhow, us three guys, we went to the church. One in this corner of a church in Kelowna, that church, and I was at the back. And so we're praying, talking in tongues, and feeling God. And so I laid on my face. I never forgot it, folks. It was the most beautiful. You can have it today. Maybe he's going to reach out and touch you right now. And I'm laying there, and I'm talking in tongues, feeling the presence of God like I never felt it before at that time in my young life. And all of a sudden, this hand, and something put their... I felt the pressure. I didn't feel fingers. I felt something put their... like, grab a hold of my arm. And I thought there, and here's curiosity killing the cat, you know. What? I feel God. Why are you touching me? Why didn't you come over and pray for me, man? I don't need you praying for me. I feel power of God right all over the place. And so curiosity was getting the better of me, and suddenly I just felt this impression come off my arm, and it lifted. And not even 3 seconds later, I'm sorry, I was in the flesh. 3 seconds later, I came back to earth, and I went like this. And there was that one brother over here, and there was that other brother over there. And I looked up like this, and I thought, you touched me. Today, I want you to know, you don't have to stop with just a touch. God wants to fill you. He wants to take over your life. God wants to move into your heart and your soul today, and He wants to lift you up to that platform where He can save your soul and change your life and turn your destiny around. Let's stand today. Right now. You see, now's not the time to shut it off and walk out that. Now's the time to begin to pray and say, God, What is it that you brought me here for? What is it that you have for me today? I don't want to stop short of my goal. I don't want to stop you from being able to come to the front and praying. I don't want to stop you right where you are. If you just close your eyes and begin to tell God, I have a need. I'm hurting on the inside. God, I feel empty. I'm broken. And I really need something new and fresh. Don't stop short of that goal. And you don't have to walk out of here the way you came. You can walk out of here 10 feet tall, shoulders squared back and head looking straight ahead.